Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 16. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whiles I was speaking and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Heavenly Father, once again I come to you, humbly, standing, as the song says, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I need a touch from God. I've prayed for my listeners countless times. But I pray for me, Lord, thy servant. I need a touch from God. This thing burns in me, your word, your gospel, your message, and the word I believe that is for this hour. And Lord, I know I am nothing. I'm no better than the dust that I walk on the sidewalk. I'm not important. But your message, Lord, is the best message in the universe. And I feel I'm unqualified to preach it. Lord, I need a touch from heaven. I feel I'm doing a pitiful job of preaching as I believe you've shown me. I need a touch from heaven. I need the hand of God upon my life. I don't want to be just a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. I want my words to count and matter in the hearts and lives of those that listen to me. Please give me a touch from heaven, that those listening to me might be stirred. And again, I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, and all of the credit to you, my Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We looked at Daniel's prayer last time, and he prayed a prayer of repentance. He had heard the word of God, he read the scrolls of Jeremiah, and it did something in his heart, and he knew that he and his people needed the touch of God. So he goes to God repenting and asking God's help. He goes to God believing. He goes to God hungry in his heart. And he prays for his people and his city, Jerusalem. But he humbles himself, praying for his city and his people and himself. But he doesn't say, "Lord, look at how good we are." He doesn't draw attention to any of his own righteousness or his people's righteousness. He doesn't look at anything else but that the Lord can answer the prayer based on God's righteousness. He says, "Cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake." They were in trouble. They were carried away in Babylon for 70 years. They were in the wrong place, in the wrong country. They were in a bad way, and they got there because they continued to worship idols and false gods. But his prayer is, "Lord, we need help, but not because of our righteousness. We need help because of your righteousness and your mercies." And his prayer in verse 19, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do." He prays to the Lord. He looks to the Lord. To you that may be obvious. You say, "Well, of course Christians pray to God." But I believe it's more than just a formula. I believe it's more than just religion. When I read the Bible, I see that we should trust in God for everything and with everything. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I could quote verse after verse after verse that says that men ought to trust in God. That's a general thing. Men ought to trust in God. But more than that, I believe, the minister ought to trust in God. And again, some of you may be thinking, "Well, you know, Brother Kelly, what do you mean? Preachers trust in God. They talk about God all the time." But if you stop to think about it, the reason why God's people, the Jews, in this book, they find themselves in Babylon, not in Israel, not in Judah, not in Jerusalem, but in Babylon. Because the people of God and the leadership, the priests and what have you, had drifted away from trusting in God. They had drifted away from trusting only in God. They said, "Well, we're going to go to church on Saturday." They were Jews, remember. "But we're also going to go to worship Molech on Thursday night. We're going to sprinkle a little bit incense, perhaps, for Ashtoreth or Baal." They didn't just trust in the Lord. They trusted in other things. In this country, America, and really around the world, we have a problem economically. We have a problem politically. This nation is going broke. Greece is already broke, has already declared bankruptcy. We studied about Greece a couple of chapters back in this book, The Kingdom of Grecia or Greece. Right now, Greece is broke. France and England may go broke. Other countries in the West may go broke. Even America may go broke. And this is not a political talk show. It's a gospel program. I'm not here to talk about how we got in the mess we're in. I don't want to talk about politics. But what I want to say is that this country should, if it knows what's good for it, come back to God. We should look to the Lord. We should depend upon Him only. Yes, we have an election coming up. Yes, we need to vote for the right people. We should do everything we can, economically and politically, socially. We should do all of these things. We'd be stupid not to try. But in all of that, we need to come back to God. We need to look to God. God can help this country. And God can help the preacher. God can help the Sunday school teacher, what have you. Again, the focus of the prayer, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I wish I could preach all of that again. We need to trust in God. When I opened the program, I prayed, trusting in the Lord, asking for His touch. I'm not interested in how much I know, or how much schooling I have or don't have, or how much I've studied, or how much I've suffered, or anything like that. I stand before you, asking for the help of God, that He would help me to preach these messages, that He would give His Spirit to me, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, that it would rest upon me as I preach, and that your hearts would be touched. That's what I want. I want a move of God in the hearts of my listeners. And I feel I must have it. I feel I must have something from the Lord. Because the people need to be reached. Christians need to come back to God. Sinners need to turn to God and live for Him. And fancy words won't do it. Programs won't do it. New methods coming out of seminaries won't do it. But it's trusting in God, preaching the old-fashioned message that He gave, the message of the cross and repentance and faith toward Christ. That's what'll do it. But let's move on a little bit. He says in verse 20, And whiles I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God. And jumping to verse 21, Yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he said, Daniel, I'm come to talk with you. Daniel says, I was praying. I was wearing my burlap sack. I had ashes and dust in my head. And I was repenting and calling upon God and confessing my sins. But while I was speaking, the angel Gabriel came. He appeared to me And it says he touched me or tapped me on the shoulder or whatever. About the time of the evening oblation. Now we see this again in chapter 10, and when we get to it, I'll spend a little bit more time on it. But Daniel is praying, calling upon God, and an angel visits him. An angel, the angel Gabriel, appears to him. And in verse 21 it says, I'm come to talk to you, I'm come to give you understanding. And in the next chapter it talks about an answer to prayer. What God is saying here is this. We need to do what the Bible says, to call upon Him, to look to Him, to petition Him, to intercede to Him on others' behalf, or whatever the need is. We need to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But there's a promise that if we go to God in humility and repentance and remembering that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that God will answer prayer. In this case, I believe it's an extraordinary case. Israel had been in bondage and captivity in Babylon, it says, for 70 years. Quite an extraordinary case. But an angel came, and not only an angel, the angel Gabriel came. Daniel prayed, he sought God, and Gabriel, the angel, came. I don't expect to see an angel when I pray. We shouldn't ever expect angels in answer to prayer. We shouldn't be so high-minded or presumptuous. Anyhow, we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't need to have Gabriel come to my house and sit on my couch and say, look, this is what God said. I have 66 books of the Bible to tell me what God said, and I'm thankful for them, and I'm satisfied for them. But the question is, will I read them? Will I believe them? Will I accept them? Will I be satisfied with the Word of God as it's given to me here in the Holy Bible? And will I read and put my trust in God? But again, the message here is when God's people pray, God hears and God answers and God will come to you. Again, He won't appear as an angel. I really believe I can guarantee that you'll never see an angel. But God comes nonetheless. God inclines His ear and hears. That's what Daniel prayed for and asked. In verse 17, Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. Right there he says it. God, I'm praying, please hear me. Please cause your face to shine upon me. Please look my way. And as we read, that's what happened. Daniel prayed, God heard, and God sent the answer. Daniel needed to hear from God, and God came through. Again, I don't mean to belabor this point, but we need to trust in God. We need to look to Him. He is our answer. He is the only answer. If you've got a problem, doesn't matter, big or small. Your car's broke down, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to get to work or whatever, trust in God. Or maybe on the other end of the spectrum, your nation is crumbling and falling apart in front of your very eyes, and you don't know what to do. The answer is the same, trust in God. call upon God, look to God. But the Bible plainly says that God will hear, and He will look in your direction, and He will come. He will send some sort of an answer to you. But let's look at verse 21 again. He said, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. God's prayer, the angel in this case, came at the time of the evening oblation. And I know that I've not taken a lot of time to talk about the temple or the sacrifices, but this evening oblation was the daily sacrifice at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the temple. There was the morning sacrifice at 9, then the evening sacrifice at 3, every day, morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. That's what God had set up way back in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and what have you. Now it's interesting to note that Daniel is not in Jerusalem. He's not in the temple. We've said that he's hundreds of miles away, he and his people, captive in Babylon. But he's praying, asking God to restore his people. And the angel Gabriel comes at the time of the evening oblation. To me, that's significant. Daniel's praying, asking God to help him and his people get back home, back to Jerusalem, back to the temple, and away from Babylon. And the answer comes at the time of the evening oblation. The temple had been destroyed. Jerusalem had been destroyed. There were no sacrifices going on. The priests had been carried captive, and they were all in Babylon. But God remembered those sacrifices that took place morning and evening. God remembered his temple, even though it was cast down. God remembered his temple. And I believe that that shows a few things, one of them being God's mercy. And I believe that this is an answer to Daniel's prayer. He's asking that he and his people go back home to Israel. But the angel comes at the time of the evening sacrifice. And I believe that's a promise that God gave to Daniel. That, yes, I'll bring you back. Yes, you're going to come out of Babylon. Yes, I'll bring you back to the temple, and I'll rebuild it. But I believe it says something else. The evening sacrifice, the daily sacrifice, the morning and the evening. These things picture Christ. These things point to Christ. These sacrifices every day, 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, symbolize Jesus Christ dying on the cross for the sins of mankind. So when we pray, we should certainly pray. We should certainly look to God with our whole heart and believe that God will send an answer. But we must remember that God's answer is inextricably linked to the cross of Calvary. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of lights. But Christ is the light of the world. Christ is that light of the world. God will help us in everything that we need. Everything we bring to God, God will help us with. He will answer our prayer. But we need to understand that God's ultimate answer to prayer is when He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Our redemption comes through the cross. Divine healing comes through the cross. Salvation comes through the cross. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.